And welcome back, everybody. This is Tom McNew with Father John Gosaldo on What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. Father, thanks again for joining us here.
My pleasure.
All right, folks, we are going to pick back up and make a grand attempt to finish our conversation on the Sixth Commandment. We finished up with part two. For those of you that are following along in the catechism, we are starting here in section three on paragraph 2360, 2360. And in my catechism, that's page 567. I have the green covered catechism. And for those of you that are listening at home or listening wherever, if you don't have a catechism in your household, then you give me a call, send me an email. I will make sure you get a catechism in your home because outside of the Bible, it's the second most important book to read. And if you haven't ever been through it, cover to cover to cover to cover, then you need to do so. All right, Father. So we're going to pick back up here with section three, the love of husband and wife.
So where do we begin? Oh my goodness. What is the love between a husband and wife? What makes marriage, what makes that covenantal relationship unique? And I always tell people, I live with a man, Father Vincent, and we love each other. I'm supposed to take care of him. He's supposed to take care of me. And if I'm sent here for the rest of my life, I have a lifelong committed relationship. But that's not marriage. The husband between love and husband and wife, I don't think it's with sexuality ordered toward the conjugal love of man and woman. The marriage of physical intimacy and spouses becomes a sign and pledge of spiritual communion. Marriage bond between two persons are sanctified by the sacrament. Fancy words. Man and women in marriage have what I call a comprehensive relationship. Comprehensive of body and mind and spirit. Men and women are not complement each other. They complement each other. They're not compatible. They bring out what's best in each other. They complete each other, but also the body speaks a language, and the intimacy between them speaks a language. I give myself all to you. I would just like in the Mass. This is my body. I now belong to you. This is my blood. I would die for you, and that's why we connect it with Christ and His church. That is a comprehensive, not just a partnership, not just a legal contract, a covenant. The difference between a covenant and a contract. Contracts is a exchange of goods and services. A covenant is an exchange of persons that's supposed to be indissolvable, which is both awesome and a cross.
Amen.
Ask anybody in a troubled marriage, ask anybody who has a normal marriage. That is like when I make vows, I made vows to my when I was ordained, the bishop said, "Do you promise obedience to me and my successors?" Well, when does that kick in? When I don't want it to, when it's inconvenient. We always go back, well, we made a vow. When does that kick in? A vow that Martin Luther broke when he took vows of obedience and chastity. And I like that it quotes, if you go down a little bit, in 2361, it quotes that event in the Book of Tobit on the night of their wedding. It's full, I even say, pregnant with theology, that before they had union with each other, he said, oh my gosh, sister, get up. What? Let's pray. It's implore God mercy on safety. He dedicates his marriage. He starts it in prayer. And then the demon Asmodeus can't attack them. If Protestants had this, they couldn't help but raise the dignity of marriage to a sacrament because demons and the devil hate marriage.
I think this is one of the greatest love stories
Oh,
in the
yes.
entirety of the Bible. and my one of my absolute. I know I tend to say that about a lot of books, but this the Book of Tobit and this story of Tobias and Sarah, I think is just it's incredible.
Yeah, and it goes by, what is the act of marriage? It asks us to be disciplined. Doesn't mean you don't, it actually helps you to be chaste. You know, many of our young men think if they struggle with pornography or in chat in impurity, I'll get married and marriage will cure that. No, wrong. It's not gonna happen. It's, you have to be chaste to be in marriage, and that the enjoyment of sexuality, joy and pleasure, points to something. It's not the end. It's a means to an end. It's an invitation to something glorious is happening. You're inviting God into this act, saying to this woman, saying to this man, I love you so much, we might have a child together. And that will connect me to you forever, which is like taking two boats to an island and burning the boats. I'll prove it to you. I love you so much, I'm willing to give myself to you forever and all of that, whatever that means. So I think it, you know, as you go on, it covers the twofold,
Yep, that's where I was headed.
twofold ends of
Twenty-three
marriage.
sixty-three. Yep, paragraph
Yeah,
twenty-three
so
sixty-three.
children and the good of the couple. And what, so children lets us know that marriage is oriented towards something outside itself, not just each other, not that I can indulge in using you and you know, like a car. I have a car for one reason, for me. That's it. It serves me. Right now, it's in the garage, sitting there, and it's just fine. I don't serve my car. My car serves me. I don't die to my car. My car becomes a pain in the butt. I will get another one. And cars don't have feelings. And I bring that up because actually, I'm jumping ahead way later on. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
Way later on, it talks about even trial 2391 talks about the right to a trial marriage where people treat each other like cars. Well, let's test drive each other. Let's test drive each other. I always ask couples, and they'll bring this up when they're living together. Well, Father, you know, when you buy a car, you test drive it first. And so I usually ask, okay, which one of you is the car and which one of you is the driver? Who's testing one out? Who's seeing if it works out? Not can I change, but does this person suit me? That's what we do with clothes. I only buy clothes that fit me. I don't buy clothes that I can conform myself to. But the other end is not just is children, but the good of the couple. Getting married makes you holy. Getting married makes you more Christ-like. You have to die to yourself because someone else to live for. It demands discipline and self-mastery and sacrifice. Welcome to the Christian life. Welcome to the Christian life.
But that's true. Well, I mean, we talk about we're talking about that in the context of a married couple, but that's true of every vocation within Christianity.
Yeah. And this is and it is uniquely Catholic and too bad because but on 2364 an intimate partnership for life established by the Creator, it is rooted in conjugal covenant that is their irrevocable personal consent. What does irrevocable mean? To give themselves totally to each other. Covenant they freely contracted imposes on the spouse the obligation to preserve it and unique and indissolvable. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. You know, this is something we can give to the world. What does marriage mean? And sadly enough, not only do our non-Catholic brothers not believe it, most Catholics don't. We'll try it, see if it works. If it doesn't work out, wow. Thank God Jesus didn't say that to us. I'll give myself to you and see how it works out. And on Good Friday, how did it work out?
Not
Not
so
very
well.
well.
So I want to go back just a little bit, if we can, at the end of 2363, there's two important words, I think, fidelity and fecundity. And I probably
Yeah.
pronounced that incorrectly, which wouldn't surprise me at all. But maybe we can spend a couple of minutes just kind of describing what those terms mean.
Fidelity and fecundity. Well, yeah, fidelity just means faithfulness. What does it mean to be faithful? Does it just mean not cheating? I don't think so. Because really, there's all kinds of ways in 2025 to be unfaithful. At work, on your phone, all adulterous relationships start the same way. 85% start at work, workplace affairs. But they all start with your cell phone, texts, emails, long hours on the phone at night. They start with emotional affairs. And even though it hasn't become physical, it's already emotional and it's adultery. And even if you back off from that, Jesus is the one who said that adultery is not just not cheating. If you look at another woman with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So yeah, we have a whole business of adultery. It's called pornography. And I tell couples, because I learned this myself from other couples, they're living together, they're already having sex, and I tell the woman, usually because she's more receptive to these things, do you want your husband getting used to having sex with women he's not married to? You don't want him getting used to that. He's already used to that because that's what you're doing. You don't want him used to that. And so that's faithfulness. Fecundity says, recognizes what our bodies are made for. That's what this confusion in gender. Gender means how do we generate life? Two kinds of people, those who impregnate and those who gestate. That's it. And your body tells you what you're meant for because you can't do both. Even people with Klinefelters or hermaphrodites, they can't get themselves pregnant. That is impossible. I thank God it's impossible. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? Wouldn't that blow your mind?
It's already, yeah.
It's already blowing your mind. But when you frustrate that, when you frustrate that, when you frustrate the fruitfulness, the fidelity will be frustrated. When you frustrate fidelity, the fruitfulness will be frustrated. I'm 56 years old as of 2 days ago. I had my birthday, and we had
Well,
quite the
happy
party
belated
together.
birthday.
Thank you. And I still remember all the heroes of my childhood. I loved bodybuilders.
Really?
Oh yeah, I watched all Lou Ferrigno, and Arnold
Arnold,
Schwarzenegger, only to find out they were all on steroids. But then you what it was like for what was it like for Arnold Schwarzenegger's wife to find out that her maid was pregnant by Arnold Schwarzenegger? That's a whole other level of betrayal. And that hits her hard in their marriage. But in his mind, it just was a moment of infidelity and indiscretion. But it has
Just an accident.
consequences, rippling effects beyond your imagination that will last for generations. What is her name? What was her name? She was a Kennedy. Anyway,
Shriver, Maria
Shriver. Yeah, she was
Shriver.
a Kennedy. And just when that came out, I just imagined the body blow that must have been, and the damage. My dad told me when I was a teenager, he goes, moment of indiscretion ruin your whole life. One moment of indiscretion ruin your whole life. I got that tattooed on my brain. But I think even go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I mean 2365 speaks specifically to fidelity, a consistency in keeping one's given word. What does it mean? God is faithful, and so in matrimony we're asked to be faithful. And it quotes John Chrysostom, the celibate guy.
I love that guy.
He says that husbands should say to their wives, "I have taken you in my arms, and I love you and I prefer you to my life itself. Wow. I prefer you. I'd rather die than you. I'd give my life for you. You know, that's why I love the movie 300. I think all men should watch 300. Okay, it's violent. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
But there's one time when Xerxes says to Leonidas, I'd kill any one of my soldiers to win a war. And Leonidas says, and I would die for any one of mine. That's what makes me different than you.
Yeah.
You love yourself. I will give my life for them. I love that movie. At the very end, he looks at the man who betrayed him. Did you ever see the movie?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Many times.
And he looks at the man who betrayed him, who's now dressed like a Persian.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, you there. May you live forever.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? The man who betrayed him and his whole nation. He forgave him and showed him what it meant, what it means to be a man. I forgive you and may you live forever. I wish the best for you, even though you have given yourself away to the enemy. You've been tempted because he was tempted by, remember, I'll give you pleasure.
Right. Yeah.
I'll give you pleasure. Oh, what a powerful.
Literally the
is,
world. Literally the world, the flesh and the devil.
Yeah. Even though that movie is full of blood. Oh my
gosh. Yeah. That's a great book, by the way. The Gates of Hell. And it, one of my all-time favorite books. But anyway,
what is the book? I never heard of it.
It's called The Gates of Hell, Thermopylae.
Oh wow!
Because
they were at
that
the
movie.
Hot Gates.
The movie was based off of, and I've forgotten the author's name. But anyway.
Oh yeah, we learned a lot from that.
Yeah.
From
It's
losing that battle.
We spent many years in the military, and all of my schooling studying that war, and specifically that particular.
Yeah, you can learn a lot from Spartans.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn what not to do too, but but they knew what it meant to give themselves for something more than themselves. Yeah.
So we got about 10 minutes, and I want to make sure that we get through this sixth commandment. So I'm going to kind of jump forward a little bit up to part four. We talked a little bit about adultery already, but I think we need to address the other major offense against the dignity of marriage, and that's divorce. So I'm looking here at 2382, and really 2383 is where we should kind of
yeah.
Start
so what is divorce? Well, there's two kind. Well, divorce, and even if you keep going, 2384. Oh geez, what happened here?
I'm still got you. Yeah.
Divorce is a grave offense against the natural law, and it's always bad.
Mm-hmm.
It claims to break the contract to which spouses freely consent to live with each other until death. Divorce does injury to the covenant of salvation, which the marital sacrament, which sacramental marriage is a sign. And what makes it worse, we just contracting a new union, Jesus says, is adultery. Now, having said that, divorce is like getting, you know, getting amputated. You should never try for divorce. However, civil divorce is sometimes, many theologians will say, a secondary evil. For whatever reason, you might have to separate for your own safety.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't break your vows. People come here all the time and they're separated from their spouse or they're divorced and ask, what do I do? And I keep telling them the same thing. Will you be faithful to your vows? Don't be dating another dude. Don't be dating another chick. We're the only ones that say that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to remind them of how it hurt their kids. So if I can tell you a little story, try to protect the people. We have a young lady here who's become Catholic, a teenager, and but her parents are divorced. And just experiencing the pain of dad's Catholic, mom is not. Well, she has to go back and forth every other weekend or something like that. And the one of the parents' mom called me because she's struggling. Well, I said, well, now your daughter is the victim of a broken marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's pulled in two separate. She's asked to choose between mom and dad. That's not supposed to happen to her.
No.
A child shouldn't have to choose between mom and dad. Children fantasize about mom and dad getting back together.
Mm-hmm.
And then mom and dad move off, get remarried to other people, have children, and now that young lady is now the product of the failed marriage. She doesn't get both her parents, like her stepkids, brothers and sisters. She doesn't get them. And even though they're trying to be nice, both households, you're always welcome here. We have a room just for you. Hey, thanks. Thanks. I'm a guest in your home. Thank you. I don't get my parents. What a disaster. And now we have this whole movement of grown adults from divorced parents. And they're now telling the story how government should discourage divorce. Government should discourage a remarriage, but we've made it so easy. We made it
No
so
fault of theirs.
easy that marriage is not like buying a car. Hey, trade one in. Kids are resilient, you know. Kids would be fine. It's about my needs. So all of our culture has moved from defending the bond and the good of children to meeting the needs of adults. Hence, gay marriage. Oh, they deserve children. You have these gay couples that somehow have children because they want them. You don't have a right to that. It's a violation. But this is what the remedy for our society is. Ready? You know what the remedy for our society is, Tom? The Catholic Church.
Yay.
Christianity is the remedy. And the only way we can start being effective is we Catholics start to realize that. But we don't. We have done a terrible job of convincing our own people. I got a stack. I think I'll even show you. I got a stack. Look at that. These are all my
Goodness gracious.
couples that
That's
I'm
like a
preparing for
two-inch
marriage.
stack. Yeah.
Yeah, these are all, I call them in the hopper. But there's a few of them that are actually not living together. A few. A few that when you ask them straight, I ask them straight up. Okay, so let me guess. You're living together. Yeah, we're living together. And you're living like husband and wife? And they don't, what does that mean? You're having sex? Oh, yeah. And so I look at the woman. Are you contracepting? Well, yeah. And a lot of times it's not just a condom or, pills. They got something inside their bodies, some piece of plastic. So I'll look at the husband or the boyfriend or fiance and say, what is that like to know that she's got a plastic device inside her body so you can have sex with her without having babies? What does that feel like? Well, Father, do you expecting us not to have sex? You know what that's like? I said, yeah, I know what that's like. Yeah, I do. I know exactly what. And I am surrounded by women, so don't give me that. My gosh, am I surrounded by women? I have more
Right.
wives in my life than I can shake a stick at. Yeah, so, there was a time. Go ahead.
There's a passage in the New Testament where the Pharisees are challenging Christ,
Yeah,
and
four
he
times
says,
Jesus
yeah,
says, if you divorce your wife and marry another, you commit adultery. Yeah.
right. But they try to justify, and I think we see some of this with people where the Pharisees and the Sadducees are trying to justify divorce,
Yeah.
and they're like, hey, God told Moses it was okay. Why are
Oh,
you
no.
telling us it can't?
Moses said it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of your hardness of your heart.
There you go.
But I say to you, yeah, in those days too, most theologians would say Moses said, give your wife a develop a divorce because they know they couldn't get out of their marriages. So what were they doing? They're killing their wives. So if you kill your wife, you can get married again. In those days, you didn't get punished for it either, really. That even plays out, in John, what was it, chapter 11, with the woman caught in adultery. Where's the dude she was with? That whole scene just stinks. Sounds like a total setup to me. And who are these perverted, Pharisees? Were they looking in the window? This woman's been caught with a very act of adultery. What did you see? What exactly did you see? What were you doing there? And where's he? Oh man, she's just dripping with scandal and a setup against her. And a setup against Jesus. Now Jesus was able to navigate and beat them at their own game, but yeah. I know we didn't get too far, but
Yeah, no, and we're gonna kind of sort of have to wrap it up there. We got just a couple minutes left. Just kind of some closing thoughts on the sixth commandment here.
yeah, I think championing marriage, that marriage protects sex. Sex does not protect marriage. Marriage protects all of us and helps us be Christian. Married people are called on mission, and that sex without boundaries leads to misery. Oh, sure, it feels good for about 4 minutes, but after that, it leads to misery and depression. All you have to do is ask our young ladies. You know, they give their bodies away to some guy, they spend all night crying, they regret it, and they feel dirty. And then they hope that he loves them enough to marry him. Oh, it's such a tragedy. Yeah, we keep pornographers and chemical plants who make contraception, we keep them in business. It's terrible. And our children are paying the price. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's wrap it up with maybe
Okay.
a prayer for our married couples and for that 2-inch stack of couples you got there that are getting ready to go through the sacrament.
Heavenly Father, all of all those who embrace the sacrament of marriage, may they image Christ's love for his church and save the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The
Amen.
Father and the Son
Amen.
and the Holy
Son and the Holy
Spirit.
Spirit.
Amen.
All right. Hey, thanks, Father. Folks, next week we're going to take a little bit of a break on our study of the 10th commandment, and we're going to get some insight from Father on our new Pope. We'll
Okay.
take a little bit of break and talk about Pope Leo the 14th, and get some analysis from Father John. So that's next week on What Would Father Say? So, and remember to put on the armor of God.